Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. We will be reading from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 20 of chapter 10, and it is found on page 947 and 948 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He then said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the deeds of power done to you had been there in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you, and you, Capernaum. Will you be exalted to heaven? No. You will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name, pray, amen. I know absolutely nothing about farming, despite the fact that I grew up in southwest Missouri and often worked with a number of people who farmed part-time. But what I do know is that every harvest, there was always a sense of urgency to make sure that the crop was in before it all spoiled. And so I often assisted in small ways in helping some people that I worked with to make sure that their crop got in so that it would not spoil. Jesus uses a agricultural metaphor in our text this morning. He says that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. The sense of urgency in what Jesus is saying in our text this morning. A sense of urgency as Jesus sends his followers out into the towns and villages that he himself plans to visit. He already knows that his days are numbered, that his days are short. Earlier in Luke's gospel, we are told that Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem, where he will be arrested and crucified. But in the meantime, there's a great deal of work to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so, like Moses before him in the book of Exodus, Jesus chooses 70 of his followers, and he sends them ahead of him to prepare for his coming. giving specific instructions about how they are to go out. They are to go out in pairs, saying nothing to no one along the way. They are to bring no money, no food, not even an extra pair of sandals. Like sheep among wolves, they are to go out completely vulnerable. All they have is the urgency of their message. The kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom that everyone has been waiting for and longing for, Jesus says, is breaking into the world, and that kingdom is coming near. The kingdom of God is coming near to you. That's the message that Jesus sends his disciples out to proclaim. That's the urgent message that Jesus wants the world to hear. The kingdom of God, God's kingdom, is coming near to you. It's a kingdom unlike any other kingdom, of course. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace and healing and hospitality. And Jesus' followers are called not only to proclaim that kingdom, but they are called to embody it. They are called to live it out. Indeed, living it out is part of the urgency of their mission. It's only when the kingdom of God is lived out and embodied in concrete acts of hospitality and peace and healing that the kingdom of God comes near for people to see and to embrace. And so the urgent message that Jesus sends his followers out is to proclaim and to live out that God's kingdom is coming near. The kingdom of God is coming near to you. There's something about the kingdom of God, something about being a Christian that has to be lived out and embodied before it can be understood. I'm reminded of that passage in Matthew's gospel where John the Baptist, languishing in prison, wants to know if Jesus is the one. Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the King? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? Or are we to look for another? And Jesus says, go back and tell John what it is you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the poor have good news preached to them. In other words, the kingdom of God is manifested and embodied in the person and ministry of Jesus. But now Jesus sends his followers out into the world to do essentially the same things that he has done. He sends them out to proclaim the kingdom and embody the kingdom so that people can hear and see and embrace it. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Now imagine the scene here for a moment. Imagine what this scene looks like as Jesus sends his followers out into the world. The kingdom of God coming into town. The kingdom of God knocking on your door. It's completely vulnerable. It has no money. It has no resources. Doesn't even have an extra pair of sandals. All it has is a way of life. A way of being in the world, a way of peace and healing and fellowship. And it knocks on your door and it says, peace be to you. I suspect that many of us might be tempted to shut the door on God's kingdom. Doesn't look like the kind of kingdom that we'd be waiting for. We're not quite sure we want a kingdom that comes to us in that way. We want a kingdom that comes with power. We want a kingdom that is big. We want a kingdom that has resources. We want a kingdom that can make the economy well. We're not quite sure that we want a kingdom that comes the way Jesus sends his disciples and followers out to proclaim the kingdom. Peace, yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with peace, but peace comes through strength. And so that's the kind of kingdom we want. We want a powerful kingdom. Hospitality, that's okay. Nothing wrong with hospitality, but we first want to make sure that the kingdom is a citizen of our country. Healing, that's all right. Nothing wrong with healing, but that sounds kind of suspicious to us. It kind of sounds like socialized medicine. So we're not quite sure that we want God's kingdom coming in our midst. We're kind of skeptical about God's coming kingdom in our midst. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day too. Not many people in Jesus' day were interested in Jesus' understanding of the kingdom of God. They had their own understanding of what God's kingdom was supposed to be like. They thought that it would be ushered in through violence and through nationalistic fervor. They thought that the kingdom of God would be ushered in by a king like David. And so they rejected Jesus' understanding of the kingdom. But Jesus knew that their way of trying to bring in the kingdom was a dead end. He knew that a great catastrophe awaited his people. And part of the urgency of Jesus' message was to get the people to turn their lives and their expectations around, to repent from their understanding of the kingdom, and to follow him and his understanding of the kingdom. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of love and a kingdom of healing. And Jesus knew that if they persisted, that a great catastrophe was going to fall upon them. And so Jesus said to them, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you want to understand what the kingdom is like, if you want to follow the kingdom, then here's what it looks like. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of healing, and a kingdom of hospitality. Your way of trying to bring in the kingdom is going to lead to catastrophe. And of course, Jesus was right. That's exactly what happened. 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Israelites continued to search and seek for a kingdom that could be bought in by violence. And the Romans would come down and destroy their nation and carry the people away into captivity. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, has come near. But it's not the kind of kingdom that we look for. It's not the kind of kingdom that we want. It's not the kind of kingdom that we hope to live into. It's a totally different way of being in the world. And that kingdom message was not just for Jesus' day, but it's also for our day. And it's more urgent now than it's ever been. We still live in a world whose notion of the good life continues to embrace the forces and powers of death. We still live in a world that turns its back on the ways of God. We still live in the world that believes that we have the freedom to do whatever we want to. The freedom to do whatever we want to with our bodies. The freedom to do whatever we want to with our money. The freedom to do whatever we want to with our lives. We still live in that kind of world. But Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is breaking into our world. In one sense, God's kingdom is an invitation to change our lives. It's an invitation to change our lives and our values and our priorities and to begin to embrace and live into the reign of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus wants us to know, is serious business. You can't come into the kingdom of God just any kind of way. It matters. It matters how we approach the kingdom. It matters what we believe. It matters what we embrace. It matters what we do. Jesus doesn't just come to help us make some mild adjustments to our lives. He doesn't just come to help us make our marriages work or make our businesses prosper. He doesn't just come to fill in the gaps of our lives so that we might feel more fulfilled as we pursue our own course in life. Jesus comes to save us. He comes to save us from our idolatry. He comes to save us from our spiritual blindness. He comes to save us from our collusion with the forces and powers of death. Jesus comes to save us. He comes to show us a whole new way of life. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about a whole new way of orienting ourselves to God and to our neighbor and to our world. That's what Jesus wants his disciples to proclaim. It's an invitation to live into God's coming kingdom. But it's also a warning. It's a warning because to reject God's kingdom and to insist on doing our own thing and going our own way is to bring disaster and judgment upon ourselves. Not because God is waiting to get us. Not because God is up there waiting to rain fire upon us as God rained fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But because to reject the kingdom of God is to embrace the ways of death. To reject the kingdom of God is to take us further and further away from God and what God desires for our lives. And so Jesus in our text this morning says, woe. Woe to those who reject the kingdom. Woe to you who turn your back on the kingdom of God. Woe to you who go your own way. Woe to you. Woe to you if you reject the kingdom. There's great judgment coming upon those who turn their back on the kingdom of God. We don't like talking about judgment much today, not in our day and age. Some of us feel quite uncomfortable to talking about judgment. Judgment, for many of us, sounds like those television preachers who can't see the beam in their own eye because they're too busy denouncing the speck in their neighbors. Better just to pretend that God doesn't have any standards, that it doesn't matter how we live or what we do. That God loves us and Jesus loves us, and that's all that matters. And all of that is true. God does love us. Jesus does love you. But Jesus is also the same Jesus who pronounces a word of woe on all of those who reject the kingdom. It does matter how we live. It does matter what we do. It does matter. And so Jesus says, God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, is upon you. It's upon you. And it's upon me. We have a choice to make. We can either accept the kingdom of God or we can continue to go our own way. We can either embrace the kingdom of God or we can continue to embrace the ways of the world. But the kingdom of God is upon you. It is near you. I broke down last week and went to see that zombie movie, World War Z or whatever it was called. Everybody seems to be into zombies these days, and so I broke down and went to see the zombie movie. And many of you might know it's about a chomping horde of zombies who plunge the world into chaos and darkness. Brad Pitt is the star of the movie, and part of Brad Pitt's job is to go around the world urgently looking for an antidote that will help humans become immune from the virus that turns people into the undead every time they are bitten by a zombie. But the fact of the matter is that apart from God, we are all part of the undead. Apart from God, we all continue to plunge the world into chaos and death. There is no antidote that can save us from walking in darkness and death apart from the ways of God. The only antidote is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near to you. We are still being called out this morning as God's people to proclaim that good news in our world. God is still looking for followers, for good men and women to not only proclaim that message, but to embody that message in a world that chooses to go its own way. The kingdom of God is near. That's the message that we need to bring. The kingdom of God is near. In the midst of poverty and hunger, the kingdom of God is near. In the midst of indifference and cruelty, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In the midst of political turmoil and war and conflict, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In a world that is beholden by racial strife and conflict. The kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That's the message, our message to the world. The kingdom of God has come near because you can see it embodied in the way that we live our lives. It's a kingdom unlike any other kingdom in the world, because it's a kingdom of healing and a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of hospitality. That's what we do here very well at Alni. We know how to have hospitality. We know how to fellowship. We know how to come together and enjoy the Spirit of God in our midst. We know how to bring healing and comfort to one another, because the kingdom of God is near us, and it's near this community that we are called to serve. Jesus still calls us out into the world to proclaim the good news. He calls us out to go out and to be vulnerable. That's the scary thing. We are still called to go out and be vulnerable. He sends us out as sheep among wolves, but we are still called to go out and to love among the wolves and to bear witness to who God is in the midst of a world that so desperately needs to hear that the kingdom of God has come near. The good news is that we are sent not with great resources. We are sent not with lots of money, but we are sent with the message that has redeeming power for our world. God's kingdom has come near. That's our urgent message. That's the message that is important for us to proclaim and to disseminate. I wish that we had the same sense of urgency in communicating that message as some of the other folks in our world has when they send out the messages in that are important to them. But God's kingdom is near us. That's the urgent message that we have to proclaim. And so let us pray. Let us pray that God empowers us to go out and to proclaim that message with power as we live it out amongst those who we are called to serve. Let us pray that God will send the laborers so we can go out and be a part of collecting the harvest. Let us pray that God continues to help us as we are called out into the world to be the light that shines into the darkness of our fallen world. And let us proclaim, not just with our mouths, but in how we relate to one another and relate to God and relate to our world, that God's kingdom has come near to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your kingdom. We give you thanks for your presence, and we give you thanks for reminding us that your kingdom has come near. Lord, help us to embody that kingdom in the way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ embodied it as he was here with us. Help us to go out into the midst of a hurting world in vulnerability and in love, giving of ourselves, giving of our time, giving of our resources, giving of our heart. Help us to live that kingdom of healing and peace and hospitality in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.